Hello and welcome to the Disney Magic Hour, episode number 45. On this week's show, we are going to create Disney's Mount Rushmore. To my left is Melissa. Say hello, Melissa.
Hello, Melissa.
Next to her is Brian. Say hello, Brian.
Hello, Brian.
And joining us live via Skype is Ryan. Say hello, Ryan.
Hello, Ryan.
Hello, Pete. And say hello, Pogo. And that was Upular by Pogo. You can find that video and more over at youtube.com/Pogo. His music at soundcloud.com/Pogo Mix, and his website is pogomix.net. That's actually one of the songs that were licensed to be done by Disney also, actually. Who are we, though? We are lastgenpodcast.com. You can find us on Twitter for this show at Diz Magic Hour Pod. That is D-I-S Magic Hour Pod. On Facebook, if you search for Disney Magic Hour, you can find on group. And if you head on over to iTunes and leave a 5-star review, we will read it live on the air, which we did get a 5-star review this week, but the text of it didn't show up yet on iTunes, so we apologize. We won't be able to read it yet, but hopefully next week or the next week after that. And if you head on over to Google Play Music and go into the podcast section and search for Disney Magic Hour, you can find us there. And as you always can now, to find all of our old episodes and to play them stream right off of your device, iOS or Android, you can head on over to soundcloud.com/Disney Magic Hour Podcast. And of course, you have to find our man, Ryan. Ryan Wilson, where can everyone find you on the interwebs?
It's Main Street Gazette, mainstgazette.com. It's Main ST Gazette on Instagram, on Twitter. And if you search Main Street Gazette on Facebook, you will find me.
The Khal Drogo of Main Street Gazette.
The one-man operation.
The one man. A man and his horse. Welcome, everybody.
Welcome.
Welcome.
This is our last recording of Disney Magic Hour on Long Island.
It is?
Yeah.
We're not doing one next week?
I don't know. We're going to be really busy.
Yeah, that's true.
You guys and I have to take apart the computer on like Wednesday or Thursday.
Oh, yeah. So this is it.
So, this is going to be our last recording on Long Island. So, happy trails.
I'm going to be sad.
No, you're not.
Yeah, well, because I'll be sitting in a room by myself.
It's like...
Join the club.
Yeah, well, yeah. Okay. So Ryan knows what it's like. Yeah, he knows what I mean.
See? Man up. Everyone's okay with it.
All right.
This will be our last one, because next week, I can't imagine us getting a show together just because everything's getting picked up on Friday. We usually record Wednesday or Thursday, or at least I'm editing on Thursday, and I will not have any of my stuff available to edit on Thursday because it's all got to be packed up.
Yeah.
So we will take a one-week sabbatical. Ryan, how you been over there, man?
Been doing well.
Yeah.
Trying to keep busy. Summer has hit us, and we had Memorial Day weekend. So the downtime will probably be good.
Yeah, we're having it's all of a sudden it's summer.
Yeah.
For us.
Again, there's like no break in seasons. It's just,
I was wearing a hoodie like a week and a half ago. Yeah. No, not even a week and a half ago. A week ago.
Yeah.
And I threw that hoodie out this week.
Yeah, we almost got sunburned on the garage sale this weekend because it was so warm.
So hot. Sunny. Oh, my God. Thanks to that one dude who literally bought all of the toys. There's one guy, he came back 3 separate times and bought every toy I had out there except, I don't know.
Your NHL players.
But then some other woman who didn't even know English like bought all of our NHLs, and she wasn't Russian. She bought all the NHL character McFarlane toys. And
for her
For her son. I was like, great. These are all gone.
Yeah.
But one guy bought all the Star Wars figures, all the Spider-Man figures, and a Batman Superman figure as well. So thanks to that guy, because at least that made it worth it. All right, let's talk about some news. Actually, we have some movie news I want to discuss. Number one, Alice Through the Looking Glass took an absolute nosedive at the box office on its opening weekend. Domestically, it only made $36.2 million, which is, for a $170 million film, kind of abysmal. Worldwide, it actually made a total of $105, but that's still a huge loss because you have to factor in how much they spent on marketing, which is not part of that, promo made $170 million. And they have to make enough money to consider a sequel. So this probably is the end of the road for that series, I would imagine. I don't know if the controversy around Johnny Depp kept a lot of the normal women crowd that would go for this film, kept them away. That is something that a lot of people are saying. It didn't do very well with women because they did not go.
Really?
Yeah, well, I mean, he did. He's right now allegedly struck his wife, and that usually doesn't play very well with the woman, unless it's like Chris Brown tickets and everyone just wants more of them. But yeah, that evidently had a very big effect. Also, it was a big effect. It wasn't very good.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. Did anyone else see it, Ryan? Did you get the chance to see it at all?
No, and my wife loves Alice in Wonderland. You know, it's one of her favorite books, one of her favorite movies, you know, the animated version, and liked the first one, and she had no desire to even go see this, so I didn't have to put myself through it.
Okay, good for you. Yeah, it was boring. It was boring, it was bad, and it's a bummer. And you know what? That really shouldn't be. It's a tough book. It's a tough thing to make into an interesting film, but making it not about Alice is not the best way of going about it at all. So Alice had a very, very bad weekend at the box office, and that future of that franchise, I am sure, is now up in the air, or not in the air and on the ground and dead. In other news, though, Mary Poppins Returns now has a date. The sequel, for everyone who keeps saying remake, the sequel has a date. It's actually going to come out Christmas Day on 2018, and you can tell that they can do that during Christmas because that's not one of the Star Wars years.
Yes.
Or if it is, if they're going to do another December release of Star Wars, it'll just be earlier in the month, so it doesn't, you know, I don't know if they're going to do one of those, like Rogue One.
Yeah.
Is coming out in December, but maybe they're going to have an off year. They're just going to put it up a little earlier. That's going to come out, Christmas Day 2018, directed by Rob Marshall, so hopefully it's more Chicago and Into the Woods and less Nine and Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides, because he has a very up and down record, in my opinion, for a director.
Yeah, those are really like two ends of the spectrum there.
Yeah, and it continues like that most of his career, actually. It's weird. The biggest news, though, is of course, the casting. Now, the casting has been rumored for so long, and accurately rumored for so long, I don't really think it was much of a surprise to most people who read up on this kind of stuff. But Emily Blunt will officially play Mary Poppins, and Lin-Manuel Miranda, who is of Hamilton fame on Broadway, he's going to be playing a new character, a street lamplighter named Jack, who I guess
it's kind of like Bert.
It's Bert in different clothes, it seems like, but whatever. Yeah, great.
Yeah, it's going to take place, I know, 20 years later, and it's going to be about Michael's sons, I believe, or son and daughter.
Well, the plot so far is about an adult Michael, his kids, and they're visited again by Poppins after a personal loss.
Oh, so maybe mom?
That's what I would assume. That's kind of what I would think it would be. So, yeah, it's going to involve the Banks family again, and people's reactions to this are exactly what I would expect in the modern age.
Oh, of course, yeah.
But I don't really get it. When Travers put out a second book, were people like, oh my God, you're going to ruin it?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. They didn't have the internet then, so probably not.
No, they probably all did, and they just didn't have the internet to talk about it.
Oh, that's what I meant. Yeah.
But I have zero. I'm looking forward to this because, again, the great thing about sequels and remakes are if they're no good, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's not like they're burning the original copy and saying, you can't have this anymore.
Yeah.
So
they're not replacing it.
Just relax a little sometimes.
Yeah.
I forgot if I know it's going to be a new score. Is Sherman part of it?
No.
Sorry. I could not get the word.
No, not according to the credits that are released so far. I don't know if he's really up to doing an entire full score at his age.
Yeah, no, I didn't know if he was like helping or anything.
I mean, I'm sure that he'll be in the room at some point, if only just to have that clip on the eventual, you know, documentary release on the Blu-ray.
Mm-hmm.
But seeing him work full time on a score, I don't know. He's pretty up there in age. Yeah. He's got to be in his like 80s, right, Ryan?
Yeah, he's. I want to say he's pushing 90 at this point.
Yeah, so not everyone can be John Williams. Lives on unicorn blood or something, because that man still works full time. I don't know how. So that's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to it. Obviously, I'm a huge fan of Hamilton, so I'm looking forward to seeing what Lin-Manuel Miranda brings, not only to the character, but what impact does he maybe bring to the music?
Oh, yeah, that would be cool. He contributes?
You know, yeah, because that you would seem that would probably happen, but who knows? You know, be just nice. Because he's written other stuff doesn't mean he's going to be having a handwriting in this particular thing, or if he even has a time.
True.
With the touring version of Hamilton, you know, next year and all that kind of stuff. In other news, actually, I forgot to write this down, but we can just talk about it because it's just off the cuff. Zootopia has now become the number two grossing film that is based on an original idea.
Like ever?
Yes, ever.
Really?
I want to say Avatar is number one.
Wow.
Because it
wasn't based on an original idea. That's Ferngully.
Exactly. And Ferngully's not based on an original idea either. So let's...
I don't know. I wasn't saying Ferngully was like the end-all be-all. I was just saying Avatar wasn't.
It wasn't based on a book. It wasn't based on an existing work. It wasn't a sequel. It wasn't a remake. And that's nuts that that is such a rare thing that, you know. But that movie has very quietly made $1 billion.
Yeah, you didn't hear much about it outside of the very, you know,
the
opening of it.
Yeah, when the opening came out, it was like a big splash.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of went away because there was a lot of other stuff that came out. Yes, yeah. Melissa?
I did see there was a Lego display of...
Oh, yeah.
of the fox. I forgot his name. But Jason Bateman's character, Nick, there we go. And some kid destroyed it. It was like $15,000 or something.
It was $15,000 worth. Like if you timed up how much time the guy put into it and the cost and everything.
It was a pretty big statue.
It was a huge statue. It was as tall as the man who made it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then a child came over and knocked it over in like the first, I think, hour.
Yeah, like within it being over.
I think it was 15 minutes. Yeah, it was bizarre. It was
so terrible.
Parenting again, once again. There's a lot of great parenting going on right now with the that art display with the angel wings that the kids like ripped off while the parents were taking videos of them doing it.
Okay.
Letting your kids play with gorillas.
Yeah.
Always fun.
And then this. So parenting. Yeehaw. Going into it. So... Let's go into what we wanted to talk about today, though. And this idea was actually brought forth on our Disney Magic Hour page on Facebook by Alec Rogers. And he listed his Mount Rushmore, or his four favorite Disney films, in chronological order. And you know what? I'm going to say what his were. His four were Peter Pan at number one, Lady and the Tramp at number two, Mary Poppins at number three, Princess and the Frog at number four. So I read that and I thought that was a really cool way of doing it, but I also thought of it in slightly different terms. Not so much my favorite ones, but what were the most impactful?
Yeah.
Melissa, go into it. I know you went one step even further than this.
Yeah, because I'm not a big history person by any means. So I was like, how did they pick which four presidents would be on the monument? Why those four? What, you know, in particular, you know, made the choices? So I kind of broke it down. Like, obviously, George Washington's easy. He's the founder, you know, first president. He set the way for everything. So he was an easy one to do. Thomas Jefferson, I was a little unsure about because besides the Declaration of Independence, I was like...
Besides that.
Well, yeah, besides that. No big deal. I didn't know, like, what he did in his presidency, so I had to look it up. But he actually did the Louisiana Purchase, which doubled the size of the U.S., so...
And hated Alexander Hamilton, important.
Yes, most important. So he was, like, the one who expanded. So I was like, okay, he's the expansion.
Okay.
We have Abraham Lincoln, obvious again. He freed the slaves. He also kept the country together, even though, like, there was a civil war. He was able to keep everybody together eventually and move us forward. So he was, like... the unifier and all that stuff. And then
from a certain point of view.
Yeah, from a certain point of view. We are all together, though.
No, I agree with it.
No,
I'm putting up the argument that probably somebody is saying right now while they put on their, you know.
Yes.
Anyways, keep going.
Theodore Roosevelt was my big, like, I have no idea what he did. But he did a ton. I know he was, like, crazy, you know, in general, like, with the, you know, hunting and outdoorsman and, like, all that stuff.
He was a rough rider.
Yeah. So I know he did, like, a lot of frontiersman stuff. I'm not paying...
Him and DMX.
Yeah, that's what I was
going to say.
But for his presidency, he did a lot of foreign policy stuff. He, you know, did a lot of work with Central America, Panama Canal, all that stuff. So for me, he was like the progressive person to kind of expand our borders outside of
He was also very loved.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the thing. He was just one of the most popular presidents that we've ever had.
Yeah.
And came to like a tragic sort of end because he was always very pro-war. And then his son passed in a war. And then he was very anti-war.
Yeah.
And kind of like went very quietly.
I remember.
Which is kind of sad. It's pretty sad, but also war's not fun.
No. We watched the PBS thing that they had on the Roosevelts, and I really liked the Theodore Roosevelt part, but I didn't know like what he did. But yeah, so he was my progressive, like,
okay,
quote unquote character.
I'm curious if somebody who's like esteemed in knowledge would call him a progressive.
Probably not, but that's
no.
What,
I'm curious. I wasn't questioning what you said. I'm just curious if that would be the accurate, because I'm going to claim ignorance on it too. Like, exactly. You know, everyone kind of has a term put towards them. Brian, you used to teach history. Did you forget all that stuff?
Yeah, I forgot all that stuff for so long time.
All right, well, the hell with them.
No, I didn't do that history. History encompasses a lot of things, believe it or not.
It does?
Yes. There's a lot of specialties in history.
What if you just ignore it, though, and just make it up as you go along?
Oh, that's what I do. That's how I get by on a daily basis.
All right, let's go with that one. All right, so Ryan, how did you come up with your list? Did you follow any sort of, like, method to your madness or anything?
I did. At first, I thought about doing the same thing Melissa did, which is go, okay, figure out the role of the president and then try to go through that angle.
And then realize that's insane.
No, great minds, great minds.
That's what it is. It's just great minds think alike. Yeah. And then I think, you know, could it be easy for me to go out and pick my favorites, and some of them are obscure, you know, do the Fox and the Hound, do, you know, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, you know, do stuff like that. And then I was like, well, that really wouldn't make it to everyone's Mount Rushmore. So what are the like, iconic moments in Disney history? And, you know, when you get that list of 15, then you pick four and try to pick different eras so it wasn't all somewhere in the beginning.
All right. So do you want to jump right in? Why don't you give us the first one?
All right.
And then the reason, I actually wrote down the movie, the character, because we have to pick, you know, what mm-hmm. character would represent you on the Rock. Mm-hmm. And then I wrote down qualifications.
Yeah.
Just so I understood, like, this is why I did this. So, Ryan, why don't you give us your first one?
So the first one, and I think that this is probably going to go around the table, but it's Snow White. It's the first of the fully animated features. It's the first time, you know, Walt had gone down that avenue. Everyone told him he was crazy, and it changed film forever. Obviously, you could pick one of the Seven Dwarfs, but I think you kind of had to put Snow White up there.
I'm going to say right now, yes, Snow White is on my list as well, also represented by Snow White. Just for mine. So that was one of mine as well.
Same.
So, Melissa, you had it on yours as well?
Yeah, for like my George Washington founder role, like, it's Snow White. She was the first, you know.
Wooden teeth, same thing.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Curly, short hair.
Yep. Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Kind of the same person, actually.
Yeah.
But yeah, like.
Apples?
Yep, yeah, apple. Exactly.
This is all coming together.
All coming together. Yeah, her movie showed that animation could be a feature-length film, and, you know, so yeah, she
founded it. The one that started it all.
Yep, she founded it.
Brian, am I to say by your silence it is not on your list?
It is not on my list, no.
Ooh. You communist.
I know.
Why don't you then go next?
My first one is Fantasia, Sorcerer Mickey would be who I'd want on.
Okay.
On my Mount Rushmore. Just because of... kind of, I guess, not founding, but it was kind of a first time that someone did that type of the animation set to the music like that, and just the effect that Sorcerer Mickey has had since the first Fantasia. He was in, they redid it in Fantasia 2000, and, you know, it's just in the parks and everything. The my favorite show,
Fantasmic.
See, I don't even know the name of it. I love it so much. Has a Sorcerer Mickey on it.
That's your favorite show?
No, it's not. I hate that show.
Oh. He's being sarcastic.
Because it's got Pocahontas in it.
It's got
his
favorite other character.
Oh, good. Well, that's
so she also won't be on my Mount Rushmore, just so you know.
You know what? My list is going to go away quickly. I also did have Fantasia on here. This was the first one that I thought of, even before Snow White, actually. The iconic vision of Mickey. This is like the version of Mickey, I feel.
Yeah, this is. If you're going to put one up there, it would be, I think, him.
And I think it's an artistic achievement that still kind of works to this day. And except for its successor in the year 2000, no other film has been like it. So it's very unique in its role in Disney. So that would also be on mine. Melissa, why don't we go to one of yours that hasn't been said yet?
Okay. Yeah, just to kind of double back. I wanted to start with Mickey because I was like, well, it all started with Mouse, the whole thing. But like... Steamboat Willie wasn't really like a film, so I kind of got like,
Yeah, no, that's right. It wasn't. When that we said that wasn't going to count.
We did?
So, yeah, don't worry about it.
Okay. I was paying attention. well, actually, okay. I have a twofer?
No, you have one. You can't. Oh, my God.
Okay. I'll just pick then, and I'll tell you why my other one was there.
What? Wait. No, now I'm curious. You pick two movies for one slot, or you pick two characters for one film?
The first one?
What? That doesn't even make sense. Why
I had like a
that?
Runner up that I was kind of debating between because I had like two.
We can bring in runner ups at the end. That's fine. Yeah. That's
okay.
Fine.
Okay.
Oh, this is so simple. Like, this, it couldn't be clearer.
Yeah, mine are very clear. I just, you know, okay. Couldn't pick.
All right. Oh, that's fine. If you couldn't pick, that's not a two. All right. Just, say your one. Good.
Okay. Well, for the double in size one, I had two choices because both of them kind of did expand the Disney empire, for lack of a better word. But I'm going to go with Mary Poppins because she, and it would be Mary Poppins from Mary Poppins, obviously.
Made famous by Emily Blunt.
Yes. 100%. It was, you know, the first real big success of live action and animation. And it was so successful that it allowed for the purchase of the land in Florida for the Florida Project for eventual, you know, Walt Disney World. So,
known as the Louisiana Purchase, yes.
Yes. So this doubling in size.
Yeah. So this is our Thomas Jefferson? Is
yep.
that what you're saying?
Yeah, this
oh,
is our Jefferson.
God almighty. No!
You understand. It's perfect.
Oh, Jesus.
I was thinking about maybe doing Cinderella because she like
her, no you said
her movie allowed for Disneyland.
She just sneaking in and she keeps talking.
No,
and you know the whole TV stuff.
You have another turn. I will turn down your mic. You will have another.
No,
chance.
I didn't go with Cinderella though. I went with Mary Poppins.
Okay, good.
I'm just telling you why I could have maybe picked Cinderella.
Okay, but you didn't.
But I didn't.
So you went with Mary Poppins.
Yeah.
Did anyone else have Mary Poppins on their list?
Nope.
Nope.
I did not either.
Wow, I really thought everyone was going.
She is on my alternates. I made an alternate list in case someone like pulled a hammy.
Yeah, I have a couple.
Yeah, I have
too.
A couple alternates. Ryan, why don't you give us another entry into our list here?
So I also had Fantasia. That was because it was like everything you guys had said. It was so groundbreaking. It's truly never really been duplicated. And it was Sorcerer Mickey as well. I tried to justify Chernabog. I just couldn't make that work.
I was trying to also. I was like, it would look so much cooler on the mountain.
Yeah,
exactly. He is the mountain.
Yeah,
like,
he is. Yeah.
So the next one, I tried to think of when was another critical milestone. And to me, it's when you get that revitalization, that rebirth of the animation in the 80s. And so I went with The Little Mermaid and I went with Ariel. It's the first movie that I can really remember having turned that corner and everyone really sat up and took notice again. It brought the Disney musical back in the animated form and really set the stage for the next 10 years of Disney films. So I kind of thought that deserved a spot up there.
I'm going to actually go in. Did anyone else have Little Mermaid on their list, actually?
I did.
Melissa did. Yeah. Okay.
She kept things together and she, like Ryan said, initiated a new Renaissance movement. So
she's Lincoln?
Yeah.
Did she get shot in the head by Ursula at the end and she leaps to the stage?
No, but I did find it was interesting. This was the first animated movie to earn more than $100 million and became the first quote-unquote blockbuster. For the animated.
The animated.
For animated? Oh, okay. Because I was like, Jaws.
No, not the first blockbuster, but the first animated one. Yeah.
All right. Don't be treading on Jaws' territory.
Are we not allowed to say that one on the show?
Jaws should be on here. Okay. I'm actually...
Still a mermaid. You can throw it in.
Bruce the Shark.
That's who, yeah. I'm going to actually stay in that era, but I'm going to say a different film. I'm going to nominate Beauty and the Beast, and I'm going to nominate Belle to be up there. This is my reasoning. I think out of those four films, this is the strongest one, and it was the first film to get nominated for a Best Picture nomination, not a special Academy Award the way that Snow White was. It was the one that actually got nominated, and there's a good argument to be had that it should have won.
Yeah.
Since then, only two other films have actually gotten nominated for Best Picture animated films in the actual Best Picture category, Up and Toy Story 3. Did Inside Out get nominated this year for Best Picture?
No.
No.
It didn't, right? No. But everyone thought that it was going to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's weird, because they also nominate like 18 films now, which I hate so much.
But now they also do the Best Animated.
They do, which they do it as a reason that they never, ever have to give an animated film the Best Picture.
I think that's like why.
No, that is. It kind of, Pixar is really the one that sort of, when they started coming out,
They're like, whoa.
They were like, okay, we can't nominate every one of your films because we're so serious. So we have to come up with another category so we don't seem so out of touch, but we also don't have to change our ways.
Yeah, because Inside Out won over Anomalisa.
Yes, it did.
For the animated thing.
I don't know if I agree with that, but there's great films. It doesn't matter. It's all candy.
No, yeah, I was just wondering.
Everyone wins. So my nominee would be Beauty and the Beast because of the impact that it had on filmmaking as a whole in how successful and how well-received it was.
Oh, cool.
Because animation on many, many other occasions, no matter how good the film is, it's always looked at as a kiddie film. Mm-hmm. And this was one that was not. So I would like to nominate Belle of Beauty and the Beast. You know, Emma Watson.
Yeah, nice.
Cool.
Brian.
All right, I'll stay in that same time period. And I'm going to go with The Lion King. That was... the face I would want up on the mountain would be Simba, but young Simba.
Young, okay, not Whoopi Goldberg.
Not Whoopi Goldberg.
All right, fine.
That movie was probably the most, I think the most popular out of all those movies at that time. It's got that soundtrack was, it still is. You hear it all the time. The feelings from that movie, when I'm in Animal Kingdom Lodge, mm-hmm. it brings that right back to me. Even the way it's incorporated into the parks with the Festival of the Lion King and just that movie as a whole. And, I think the younger Simba is what I think of when I think of the Lion King is him as a kid as opposed to when he becomes an adult.
Okay.
With all Rafiki right. holding him up.
That's a lot of rock work. And that's two characters. And I cannot believe you really don't get the rules to this.
I got
kind
them
of amazing.
All. I'm just artistically interpreting them.
Yeah, all right. So is Rain Man. What's the next one you have on your list there, Raymond?
Shut up. This is my only male one.
Oh, well, thank you.
Sexist.
You know Mickey Mouse is not. Okay, don't worry about it.
Keep I didn't have Mickey on mine.
Oh.
I had Snow White. For the progressive one,
God almighty.
Who kind of like led the way to new things, I picked Woody from Toy Story because it was, I know it's Pixar, but it was one of the first, CGI movies that made you connect with these things that aren't, they're toys. But you had such a deep love for them that's followed through even to the third movie. And your connection, I think, is instant with Woody. So that's why I would put him up there.
I also had Woody on my list. I think that it introduced a new era of animation into not only Disney, but everywhere. Mm-hmm. It set the landscape for decades since and to come. And I had Woody specifically also, which is interesting because he's kind of the bad. He's not the bad guy, but he's not a nice guy in the first film. Like
but he's growing. He's,
yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, you actually see him grow.
Yeah.
I know
yeah.
he started off a lot worse in the original drafts of that film. He's kind of despicable, actually. They had to change it because he was unlikable. So, yeah, I actually did have Toy Story Woody as well. Ryan, did you have that or Simba on your list?
I didn't have Simba. I did have Woody. I did have Toy Story. I mean, this is how you get John Lasseter coming back to Disney, which, truly you see a shift in how animation is done. You see how they do their films. Pixar eventually will come into the fold. John Lasseter, touches everything at Disney now. So I think, yeah, that was that beginning of that new wave, that new piece that was going to be critical to Disney for years and years. And I, down the road, we'll still be talking about it. So yeah, it had to be. I had to go with Toy Story and Woody.
Anyone else?
Yeah, I had Woody from Toy Story also.
Oh, okay. So we all did.
We all did. Pretty much everyone said the what I would say. And like that kind of like I feel like Woody started that the ball that he kind of carried the torch until the Disney animation really picked back up.
I thought you were going to do a Pixar ball joke. That was really great. he picked up the literal Pixar ball.
He did. He ran with it. He went home with it. But I think he started that whole Toy Story was so groundbreaking and just it led to look at all the ripoffs that came after Toy Story from
I was working in the theater. I was working in the theater when that first one came out in 95. I'd worked in a theater for about a decade and during my time on Earth, I had never seen a film so crazy busy ever before. It was just nuts, and everyone was coming out of it like, oh my God, what did I just see?
Yeah.
You know, it had that level. And you watch it now, and you can see the leaps and bounds that CG has taken in a relatively small amount of time. 20 years, technology is not a long amount of time.
No.
But man, when you watch Toy Story, and then if you want to put on Up or whatever, it is just, it's two different worlds.
Yeah, but the great thing is that the story is still so quality, and I think that's also like what makes Toy Story so great, is like it wasn't just good technologically, it was good because of the substance that was in it.
So we all had Woody on our list. This is the first one that every one of us has had on their list.
Mm-hmm. He gets a gold star.
Do we say that this is a lock for the mountain? Ryan, are you cool with saying that?
Oh, yeah.
Brian?
Yeah, definitely.
Melissa?
Sure.
All right, I'm going to put in a lock for him. Who would have thought? Woody, the first one. All of mine have been said, actually. Ryan, do you have any others that have not been yet said?
No, we've covered all of them.
Oh, okay. Brian has another one.
I have one. Peter Pan. But who I would want on there would be Captain Hook.
Hmm.
To me, I like hats, I guess, because almost every one of my characters have a hat on.
Except Simba.
Except for Simba. But he, to me, was, he's like the villain. He is the Disney villain that my favorite one.
Yeah.
And I think we talked about it when we did the Peter Pan one, and I think this really brought it home to me after I watched it, because I hadn't watched it again in a long time. He's, you know, he's like a complicated villain, and he's kind of a bad guy, but he's also, you can see where he's coming from. So like, he's like kind of a sympathetic villain in
ways.
He
was, to that point, their bad people were very black and white.
It was black and white, but he was, you know, you could see.
He had some shades of gray in him,
he had some sympathetic parts to him. So yeah, I would, Peter Pan, but I would really like to see Captain Hook up there.
All right, so I'm going to put Hook. You know, I had one other on my alternates, and while I don't think they make the Rock at all, I think it's something just to say Oswald.
Okay.
The Lucky Rabbit, just because when we really talk about where it all started, Oswald is kind of where it all started. I mean, Mickey is just a slightly different drawn version of Oswald the Lucky Rabbit. And if things wouldn't have happened in such a manner, you know, does Oswald work in the long run? Is there an Oswald that, you know, we all wear hats for? Well, I mean, people do now, but you know what I'm saying. Like, does he become the icon that Mickey became? It's impossible to answer it.
Yeah.
It's hard.
But I mean, Ryan, do you think that there was a shot of that, or did exactly what needed to happen?
You know what? I want to say exactly what needed to happen, just because I think Oswald could have, but you're looking back at rewriting contracts because of, you know, the rights that Walt wanted to control that he didn't have with Oswald. So would Walt have eventually walked away from that character? I just don't know.
Yeah, I think it's interesting to consider him. So I just wanted him to be said.
Okay.
Did anyone else have any alternatives they just wanted to bring up?
I had Beauty and the Beast, but I had Beast.
You had Beast?
As going on.
Oh, okay. Let me put this down.
As the figure to go on the mountain.
How come?
You know what? I don't know. I just think he would look really cool on the mountain. And
he's very regal looking.
He is very regal looking.
The prince.
And especially they should have the one when he has the curlers in his hair. Like, he's got the...
Yeah,
that would be nice. I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm big and hairy and I...
All right. I see where you're going
with
this.
Relate to him.
He was one of, like, the first most complex prince characters.
And he was another one that was not... He was not a black and white, you know, good guy.
Well, yeah. No, and also, I mean, he couldn't be, because the film is literally him and her.
Yeah, no.
So they had to make sure that they nailed both characters in order for it to work at all. I think the same could be said for something like Frozen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if both the sister characters are ineffective, then it doesn't work from the word go. The film's going to fail no matter what. Melissa, did you have any alternates that you wanted to say?
Well, I already said Cinderella.
You know what, though? You're right. I mean, look at the impact of Cinderella on the company.
Yeah.
It is now the icon of their largest park, the one that gets the most attendance per year, the most popular amusement park in the world.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that is quite something. It also got them out of a financial dirge.
And it allowed him to do the television, you know, the television production. He started building Disneyland. I mean, it just was able to kind of finance a lot of other animated and live action films. So it was kind of like
it kicked off the golden era.
Yeah, it got them out of their World War II rut.
I think that's a solid thing to put on the list. All right, so let me go over what I have, and please correct me if I missed any as we go by. So we have Snow White representing Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, Sorcerer Mickey representing Fantasia, Mary Poppins representing Mary Poppins, Ariel representing the Little Mermaid. We have Belle, and then a separate entry for Beast representing Beauty and the Beast. We have Simba from The Lion King. Woody is a lock because we were unanimous on him. So Woody is actually up there. He's already up there with his hat tipped, saying hello to the crowd. Then we have Captain Hook representing Peter Pan, and then we have Cinderella representing Cinderella. Did I miss any? I feel like I think that's all of them.
No, that's... No, you got them all. Yeah.
All right. Ryan, give me your first that you think should go up there, and then we will discuss that one. How's that? Is that a good way of doing this?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right, he nominates one, and then we,
Yes, guilty. Yes.
Yeah. I got to go with Sorcerer Mickey and Fantasia. I mean, we talked about Oswald. You know, what we see now is Mickey. Mickey is the be-all, end-all. You know, that is the iconic version of Mickey. It's in the Great Movie Ride. I think he has to be on the mountain somewhere.
That is my number one. Should be on the mountain.
I concur.
We have dissension, though I
not
see it
guilty.
In the eyes.
How do you know he's guilty?
Okay, so what do you think? You don't think so?
I want to agree with everyone, but I don't.
Okay, then I need you to supplant that nomination. Not that it knocks it off the board completely.
Okay.
But you've got to give me someone then that you think deserves more to be up there, and then we have to agree.
I'm going to go...
Or, I'm sorry, let me give you an additional option.
Okay.
Or say one of the choices that you do not think should be on there.
Oh, no, I don't want to do that one.
You just did, actually.
Well, no, because I feel like... Because, again, I'm still stuck in the roles part. So I still think that Snow White should be up there because of her impact with starting everything off. And I don't think without her, Sorcerer Mickey gets made.
Well, see, what I went with was the first thing I think about is, the first thing that popped into my head was Sorcerer Mickey from Fantasia. Like, when I think of Disney animation, I don't know, that's the first image that pops into my head.
I don't know. He doesn't strike me. Like, I know Mickey in general is the first thing, but
okay,
not
but
Sorcerer
the film
Mickey.
Fantasia.
Yeah.
Stop thinking about the character.
The film Fantasia, overall, I don't know. I don't feel like I know it was groundbreaking and nothing's really been done since except for Fantasia 2000, but I don't know. When we reviewed it, it didn't really hold up as well. There's still parts of it that were a little, nap time.
I only think that with the dinosaur sequence because it just goes on
a
little long. Yeah. I'm sorry?
It's a long sequence, though.
It is a long sequence.
It's a bathroom break in the middle of the movie. You need one of those.
All right. Well, okay. Let's move past. Trust me, that is not over. That conversation is not over because
I know. It's going
to
go up.
I will say though, I think you're right in that Snow White absolutely deserves to be up here. Would anybody argue that? Brian Bogart.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not going to argue it.
This actually is a little more discussion than I thought it was going to be. Actually,
I don't know. I'm not ready to put Snow White up there, maybe without putting some other ones up there before it.
The Snow White, the first
film. So if we
do film,
Snow White and Sorcerer Mickey together, if we say this is a pair, that's like everyone gets behind.
I think they both do also,
but
But then that's already three spots, and we only have room for one more.
Hell yeah, we do.
That's and then we have to fight it out with four or five
take
things.
Out the knives.
That'll do it right there.
That's the way it goes.
No.
We're
doing a mountain range, right?
No. Four. That's it. Four.
Who do we have up there? We have Woody up there already. Okay.
We have Woody up there. Right. So let me put it to you this way. In the history of Disney films, of the most impactful, most important films, you honestly don't think Snow White and the Seven Dwarves should be one of those.
If we're talking strictly impactful in terms of just the film business, of just the films, not including what it did for the parks, or like you said, with other stuff, then yeah, definitely Snow White. Then okay. I would say Snow White. If we were talking more in terms of maybe overall, I would go with more with Cinderella instead of Snow White. If we're talking about overall impact. Because if you go to if most little girls want to they wear their Cinderella dress, you know, as opposed to a Snow White dress.
Okay, but just because no one's wearing Lincoln, well, actually, people do wear Lincoln shirts. No one's wearing, you know, George Washington shirts anymore. At least I don't think so. Is anyone doing that nowadays?
Not that I know of. No.
Okay, good. I don't think that lessens the fact that he was the one who started it.
I can understand. I can see that argument. Yeah.
So,
but if I had to choose one or the other, Snow White or Cinderella, which is where I'm, is I put them both in the same category in terms of choosing one or the other, I would have went with Cinderella. But if it's three Snow White to one Cinderella, then
yeah, I like the idea of Cinderella. I see the logic behind it, but I wouldn't agree with it. Ryan, what would your feelings be towards Cinderella against Snow White?
I love Cinderella. I think it was the first Disney movie my parents brought into my home as a kid. Like that was my first introduction. I grew up in Florida. I had Cinderella Castle, but I think just looking back at the history, I have to stay with Snow White.
Are we ready to say Snow White?
Well, she's definitely...
I say I.
Above Cinderella, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Brian, you're with that?
I'll concede on that one, yes.
All right, then. Brian concedes. Brian, what is your hill to die on, then? That's exactly what I want to know. I guess that's my question to you. What's your hill to die on?
What do we have left?
We have remaining. We have two spots remaining.
Well, no, Sorcerer Mickey's going up there no matter what Mel says. So we have don't count Sorcerer Mickey.
I'm sorry. Yeah, Melissa, I don't know. You really have to tell me how that isn't in there. How Fantasia as a film and the representation of Sorcerer Mickey is not one of the most important films in Disney history.
Because I don't think it did what other films did for the film industry, the company in general. Like, it was ambitious, but it lost money. You know, it wasn't reproduced, you know, a number of times because it was so successful. You know, it waited how many years for Fantasia 2000, you know? So, I mean, if you're talking about the impact, I mean, you have Cinderella financed all that stuff. Mary Poppins financed Florida Project. You have...
Oh, bankers. Finance
well,
those things.
But because not, of yeah. the success of those movies, you know, if Fantasia was more successful, maybe other stuff, you know, stemming from it. I mean, yeah, you have Sorcerer Mickey represented in the parks a couple times, but I don't know if it's like...
He was the icon of Hollywood Studios for the last number of years. The icon.
Now it's going to be a Death Star.
It's not going to be a Death Star. Yes. All right, let's move on from Sorcerer Mickey before I grab something short.
So no, like, who else do we have? Well, come on, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
no, I was going to say, like, we only have limited spots, and I feel like there's so many other, like, more impactful. Like, we haven't even got to, like, the Renaissance part, so I don't know.
All right, let's get to, you know, Ryan, wait a minute, who should nominate next? Ryan? Yeah, Ryan, nominate next.
I'm going to go with Ariel because it is that it's that beginning of the next Renaissance phase of like the new guard as it were in Disney.
Ariel, Melissa.
Ariel,
I feel like you're behind this one.
Yeah, I picked Ariel too.
Okay.
Dinglehopper and all.
Yes. I can't argue it's the one that kicked off the new birth. While I personally feel Beauty and the Beast is a bigger film, if Little Mermaid fails, does Beauty and the Beast do they ever get the confidence to put forth a Beauty and the Beast?
Yeah, that would be my question.
Because I'll tell you right now, I think Little Mermaid's kind of dull, like
no,
the movie
I,
itself.
Yeah, story-wise, like it might not, it's definitely not Beauty and the Beast level. Like obviously there was a reason why Beauty and the Beast got to Broadway first and stayed for as long as it did.
Yeah. Little Mermaid really went fast.
Yeah. So, but the show in Hollywood Studios, I really like a Little Mermaid. But yeah, no, I think without Little Mermaid, I don't know if Beauty and the Beast, Lion King, Aladdin, all those great successful ones afterwards are, you know, the result.
But should the better one get the recognition? the one that got nominated for Best Picture.
See, out of all those movies in that time, that's the one that I never watch and I never go back to watch is The Little Mermaid. Like, I won't go back to watch that movie.
Ryan, how about you? How has Little Mermaid kind of aged for you?
You know what? I still will watch it. I will watch Beauty and the Beast too. And that's the thing is, I'm torn. I could go either way.
It's got to be one of the other of these. I know, that's absolutely the thing.
I'm trying to figure it out. If it was Little Mermaid, I don't know that the others. Screw that. If they were so far along in production on some of those, they would have come out in one way, shape, form, or the other.
Okay. That's a good point.
I can get behind Beauty and the Beast.
Melissa.
We want the redhead.
There's no animation. It doesn't count.
You want Jack Sparrow on this?
Yes. No.
That's a whole other genre.
Yeah, that is a whole other thing. The live action Mount Rushmore would be very interesting. All right, so let's hold those. Ariel, it's got to be Ariel or Beauty and the Beast. So I think that we all agree it's got to be one of the.
Okay, so we can maybe let's kick some people.
Okay, that's a good idea, Brian. That's a good idea, Brian. I'm gonna say Simba. Nay.
That's fine.
Yeah, I Zod him. Remember in Zod when they knocked down the Mount Rushmore?
Yeah.
Great effects. They weren't great effects.
No, they weren't at all.
Because they reshaped the mountain with one heat blast. And everyone's complaining about the crap they do in the movies now. You should really go back and watch the old Superman films. They're not great, but they're awesome because they're not great. Does anyone have a thing to save Simba?
No.
Death to Simba. Gonna kill
just him. Like his father.
He just like his father before him.
Gets thrown into a stampede.
Cinderella.
No, I think we kind of already nixed her.
We already nixed her? Okay.
No, didn't we?
Oh, see, I thought you were using her as your defense on Snow White.
No.
I don't know why I said it that way.
I don't know either.
We're not in the Beauty and the Beast.
No.
I went very French there, didn't I? It's weird.
Are we still fighting for her?
No, because we put Snow White up there, right? We did put a Snow White.
Snow White is a lock, yes. Snow White is now.
So then, yes, then she's gone. Because that was my argument against Snow White. But
Mary Poppins.
No.
Really? Flat no from you?
A flat no from me.
Flat no.
Because that's, to me, that I don't think of that as an animation movie. I think of that as a live action.
This was the one where I did kind of, we kind of bent the rules a little bit. There was an animation sequence in it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's not as much animation as one might remember just because it's that one sequence.
Yeah, right.
So, I guess, really, technically, it shouldn't have made the list overall.
Okay.
If it was live action, I would say it's the very first one to go on.
Yes, right. Yep.
Okay.
So,
Davy Crockett.
So, you want to...
Nailed it.
Who would be... I want the chief to be the one that's up there for Davy Crockett. All right,
well, Brian,
so
that was the worst. I'm sorry, I missed it last week, Ryan, because I was sick. But that
I'm glad you're doing better, though.
Thank you. That was the worst fight I've ever seen on screen.
Oh my god, it's so slow.
It's so slow.
Everyone's chopping like 3 inches above heads. Exactly. Not even a foot.
Yeah.
A solid foot.
They need better choreography.
It's so old timey filmmaking. It's great.
It's so great.
All right, so I'm going to nix Mary Poppins more because. The film gets in on a technicality because it had that animation thing, but it doesn't quite because we were talking about animated features. So she is gone. The wind has changed.
Yeah.
All right. So who do we have left?
We have left Sorcerer Mickey, which, oh my God, woman, you're insane. But we'll get to that later. And then we have Ariel, Beauty and the Beast, and Captain Hook. I love Captain Hook. I don't think he's up here with these guys, but I do think he's the most interesting.
I tried to pick a few also that because I knew we were going to have a lot of overlap, so I tried to come up with a couple of different ones.
All right, so you're okay with that?
Yep.
All right.
I think it's Sorcerer Mickey, and then we battle out between Belen and Ariel.
I do not think that we can have Ariel and Belle on this.
I
think it's got to be one or the other, and then by default, one of the most influential animated films of all time. Sneak on there.
It's a miracle.
What happened? It's a Christmas miracle. Yeah, look at the look on your face, woman.
What?
I wish this was a video thing.
You are so pissed. I'm not pissed.
she's pissed, Ryan.
That's passive aggressive.
I heard the pitch change. Yeah, right.
Okay, so Ariel, you know what? I'm going to take myself out of this. I'm going to take myself out of the thing because, look, right now I have a possibility of having literally my list be the list. So
I should do the same thing because I had the same problem.
Oh, okay. All right. It's going to come down. You guys had...
I don't have Belle. I had Beast.
You had Beast.
But...
And did you have Ariel?
Yes.
Should we decide who we're going to fight for Beauty and the Beast first over Belle versus Beast, and then...
I agree. That's a good place to start. I think Belle, because she is the heart of the film... This is my argument, sir. I think Beast is pretty damn good.
Beast goes through a journey in that he's the one that has she has a little bit of a character change. I feel I don't think she really changes that much from who she is.
She falls in love with an animal.
She falls in love with an animal, but like her personality is the same at the start of the movie. Not her personality, but she's the same character for the most part at the start of the movie that she is at the end of the movie.
She wants adventure. She gets adventure. She wants adventure.
Yes. The beast becomes a bit, goes from being a bitter, you know, animal to redemption. And I think his arc is, you know, he's the heart of the movie because he's the one that goes through that transformation.
Well, I guess if we don't like the Beast, then we don't buy Belle liking the Beast and then the film falls apart.
Yeah, because how could she fall in love with
a beast? That's literally the words of the movie.
I know.
Ryan, what would you say towards that?
You know what? I can agree that the Beast has great development. I do think that it begins and ends with Belle. And just looking at the mountain the way it is, I'd like to see – this is going to sound bizarre, but I'd like to see some balance, some female-male balance. So we have Snow White. We already have Woody and Mickey. So we have like the boy on this. I'd like to see another female on there.
Good. I'm glad someone else said it.
No, that's fine. I was actually kind of – I was waiting. Melissa?
No, yeah, I agree. I mean, I do – agree that, you know, the Beast has the most arc, you know, from spoiled prince to raging animal to lovable animal beast man prince again.
Yep.
But the only way that he becomes the man again and the one that we fall back in love with is through Belle and her showing him, you know, tenderness and love and everything like that. So I think that her hand is key.
Okay. I will argue, though, he's fine in the beginning. She's just really annoying. But anyways, that's a different conversation.
And let me just, I just want to get to
the... You can't forbid the West Wing. Obviously, you're going to go there. Come on.
There are no men on this. There's a toy.
True.
There's a toy and a mouse. A toy, a mouse, and a female. So technically, it's
Woody's all man.
Woody's all man.
The Beast isn't a man either.
That was the thing. The Beast isn't a man. He's a beast. So we'll have no men up there.
I got to put my vote officially towards Belle, though. I do. Brian, I have a compromise. I will then make you a mountain carved of Emma Watson's face.
Okay, deal.
All right. So Belle will go. I can't wait to see the full trailer for that new movie.
I can't either. Beauty and the Beast is my favorite Disney movie. And that first like teaser trailer, I think it looked pitch perfect for what they were doing.
It does. Hopefully,
someone's French accent is a little weird, though.
Your French accent,
and it was
one line of dialogue.
I know,
don't
but it's like
internet.
No.
Come on,
no. I was just, you know, it's just a little like weird, but I know it's only one line of dialogue, but it's pretty iconic.
You should go back and listen to Jerry Orbach.
Yeah,
he was amazing.
All right, he's not British in the way of Dick Van Dyke, which is insane. But, you know, he's not like that level, like towards French accent, but it's kind of stagey because he's playing a candlestick.
Yeah, candlestick. But in that trailer, Ian McKellen he says that whatever the line is, I forgot, but he delivered it very much like Gandalf. He said it, and I'm like, Gandalf?
It's pretty hard to get away from.
Oh, no, definitely. But
it's pretty awesome.
It is pretty awesome.
If he's ever going to voice something regal, I'm immediately going to just hear, Bilbo.
Yeah, of course. It's just that. But
not here to rob you. I'm here to touch you.
No.
No, that's not the way. Okay. Where the hell were we? All right, so Belle.
So Belle. So now it's Belle and...
Belle V. Ariel.
Yeah.
Belle V. Ariel. All right, so Brian and Melissa.
Take it to the water.
Ryan has... Ryan,
I have Ariel.
And Ryan is in the corner of Ariel. I am in the corner of Belle. I'm going to look away, and I want you two to come to a decision on this one. And I'm okay with either one, actually.
Are you serious? You think we're going to be able to come to a decision if it's just the two of us?
Hey, we've got 5 minutes left. Yeah, you got it. That's it.
This is so hard because I understand, like, maybe the Little Mermaid movie overall isn't as, I don't know, interesting as Beauty and the Beast, but the villain is really great. One of the best villain songs, Poor Unfortunate Souls. Amazing.
Gaston.
No.
That's the best villain song.
Gaston song?
That's the best villain song.
I can't stay silent on that.
I'm sorry.
First of all, Gaston doesn't even really sing his song. It's like saying Cruella de Vil has the best villain song, and she doesn't even sing it. So he doesn't even sing his whole song. Also, it's all about him, where she is saying how, you know, she's just helping those poor unfortunate souls. She's being good.
Do you know what that movie's about, The Little Mermaid? Did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
And she has, like, a really great, I don't know, I really love Ursula. So for villain, like, she is really far up there. Ariel herself, I think, is really great because she does grow also, even though, you know, you can argue
she
that
she's... She grows
legs. Yeah, she grows legs. loses her voice. But, you know. Bonus.
Well, I understand what Ariel and the Little Mermaid meant to that time frame in Disney.
And you have the songs that, you know...
Counselor, you had your speak.
No, I'm not done.
Okay,
my argument's
Brian,
not over.
I'm sorry.
Because I'm still... The merits are lengthy.
This isn't Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, though, so I need you to both...
Like, I'm going to Davy Crockett code Congress.
Davy Crockett this thing, all right?
The songs in and of itself, you know... They, again, start off the whole Renaissance era of great Disney musicals and movies, and the animation also. Okay, go ahead.
No. Okay, it did. It did do that. But to me, Beauty and the Beast is the pinnacle of that era of Disney animation. And that character of Belle... is and just the whole story and everything. To me, when I think of that era of Disney, it's Beauty and the Beast. Yeah, I think Beauty and the Beast, Lion King, and then kind of everything else after that.
Everyone remember Aladdin came out too?
Yeah, exactly.
I loved Aladdin.
It's amazing how that didn't even come up, actually. Yeah. I'm surprised.
So I think that that's the most important movie of that time for some of the reasons that Pete had said in his thing is that kind of it basically... You know, it was the first Disney movie nominated for Best Picture. It had iconic music, iconic.
What do you think,
scenes,
Melissa?
Characters.
Going on that, what do you think has the better music? One v one, like one against the other one, in the overall sense.
I don't know. I really like Little Mermaid.
It's okay. You can answer what you
no,
want.
No,
I
like when I was learning the piano. Like I had the Little Mermaid songbook.
Do you know piano?
They had the letters inside the notes.
All right, that's enough of that.
So
maybe that's a strike against Little Mermaid.
I had the Beauty and the Beast one too.
All right, you guys have to pick. You guys have to come to an agreement on one or the other.
I'm not going to win. I'll give it to Beauty and the Beast. There's a lot that it has, you know, going for it that, you know, I mean, I don't know if without Ariel, Beauty and the Beast gets to where it gets to, but I can admit that Beauty and the Beast is a really amazing film and, you know, the longevity of it. You know, there's a reason there wasn't a live-action Little Mermaid.
Ryan, what's your main push behind Ariel?
I think the only thing I have left at this point is if we look at the ones we've picked, we're looking at things that were the beginning of something new. Fantasia with a whole new way to look at a film. Snow White the same way. Pixar, you know, we're starting with Toy Story with the beginning of Pixar. So if that's the trend, then it's Little Mermaid. But I can take either one to be
that's
happy.
A good point,
but
though.
The Little Mermaid.
That's a good point.
But wasn't that like some of the other? It was kind of like the other movies before it. It just finally did it good for once.
Oh.
It did it well for once.
Not
well, you can say that same with Beauty and the Beast then.
But to me, Beauty and the Beast is the best of those kind of movies. So for me, that is the reason.
I'll give it to Beauty and the Beast because it could be like Teddy Roosevelt and we could just say, why is it up there?
Oh my God in heaven.
Yay, I win.
That was good. That was good. That may have been one of the best form jokes you've ever kicked out, like in all the years I've known you.
Thank you. I'm done.
That's well done. Yeah, you're never on the show again.
Mic drop, walk away.
Yep, that's all I got.
I almost wish that we could take a poll. Oh, God. Should we do that?
We could.
No, not end the thing.
No. We're going to make our decision. You know, I don't know. I kind of like Ryan's argument, I got to say. Because it does fit the theme of the rest of the presentation. When it's talking about, like, you know, Snow White started it all. Fantasia is one of a kind. But, you know, Toy Story was the one that started that revolution. Little Mermaid started that golden age.
Well, I mean,
so while it may not be the greatest in quality like Teddy Roosevelt, it might be the one that deserves a spot up on that rock as the leader that led into the other ones.
So you're saying Little Mermaid has polio?
No, that's FDR. Wrong. That was Fetty. No.
Oh, that's right. That was FDR. That's wrong. Right.
That was wrong. That was Great Depression era.
That was the 70s and 80s.
That was the 70s and 80s. Yeah, that really was, though. So, I don't know. I feel like my mind is kind of getting a little turned on this one. Because if Ryan didn't say that, if he didn't put it that way,
good job, Ryan.
I would not pick Ariel. But with that argument put forward, I do think thematically it does fit the rest of the rock.
And you have a Dinglehopper.
Stop. That's not helping.
Starflight?
You know what? You really start. You ended on a high note before.
I know. I told you that was the last time I'm doing that. I saw this amazing Disney video where they made Dinglehopper cake pops.
It's called Little Mermaid.
No, cake pops. Cake pops.
Okay. Cool.
So you can make food out of it. There. All right. Point.
You know what? I'm going to say, I want to put it up on the board anyway because I'm curious what others will say about this. But for the sake of also getting in others' opinions and whatnot, I'll go with Ariel for this because of the reasoning that Ryan gave. I think Little Mermaid is the better, and it also had a big impact because it was the one that got a nomination.
You mean Beauty and the Beast?
That's what I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Thank you. But I see where the argument's coming from, and the reasoning that I used to back up Fantasia is that same reasoning.
Okay.
So.
I guess, but I don't think so because your reasoning for Fantasia is it's a one of a kind movie.
Well, then
Little
Snow
Mermaid's
White,
not Little Mermaid's not one of a kind movie. Little Mermaid's a musical cartoon, and then they made a whole bunch of them.
But Snow White was the very first one.
Snow White wasn't really a musical. I don't consider it a musical.
Oh no, there's enough. There's just as much music in that as there is in Little Mermaid. Little Mermaid, I feel like, is even shorter runtime, isn't it? Little Mermaid's a pretty short film, isn't it?
I think they're all pretty short, but I'll look up the runtime.
So, I feel like we're at an impasse.
Well, it's 3-1, so I there's nothing I can do.
All right, we're gonna put a lock on Ariel.
It's a mistake, but okay.
Little Mermaid's a minute shorter.
Oh wow, how about that?
She should have held that note a little bit longer.
Yeah, she's a failure.
Part of your world.
They should have had another scene with that bird. I don't even know the name of the character.
Scuttle.
He still hasn't stopped running his mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember we went onto that ride once and that animatronic wasn't working and it was like, oh, it's like a very bad start to this. Like, it's like the worst thing that couldn't be working. And then that was the same day Ariel actually wasn't working.
Yeah.
But then we went later that day and everything was working because that was still pretty early in the process of that.
Yeah.
So let's go over our Mount Rushmore again. Now, again, the reasoning behind these picks are not just our favorite films. It's because of the impact that it had on the company and many other, you know, factors. It goes beyond just fan favorites, because my fan favorite list is totally different, because Cusco has got a spot on that wall.
Hades.
Not for me, but that's great.
For me.
Todd.
Yeah.
Wait, who'd you say?
Todd. Fox and the Hound.
Oh, all right. Would that be on yours?
That'd be on my favorite list. That'd be on my personal, yeah.
Now I'm thinking, like, who would be mine? I guess it would be Cusco. It would be Chernabog.
Yeah.
I would bring him in there
and
scare the hell out of everybody.
Could he, like, have his wings spread and, like, put his arms out over the other three? Yeah.
I don't think so, because it kind of gives the implies that he's going to murder them.
Well, maybe he's like covering them.
Yeah?
Because he loves them.
Is he giving floating hands?
He's yeah. Like,
all right, so on our wall is
We should do that, though, at the end. Just say our four that we would want, our fan ones.
Okay, yeah. No, that's good. Our four, and I think that this order kind of works as well. I would have Snow White, then Sorcerer Mickey, then Ariel, and then Woody.
Yeah.
Okay? Is everyone okay with this?
Yeah.
All right. So that is our wall, and I'm going to put up a thing. I want you guys to vote on Ariel and Belle.
And Belle will win because...
Blood Vest.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll
it'll,
see.
Belle will win.
God, there's some venom in you right now. Right, so,
The Little Mermaid's not a good movie.
You
I can't wait till we review it. I'm going to sing all the songs.
It's okay. You can sing it all. The songs aren't horrible. It's not like the songs are bad. I didn't
They're
say
amazing.
The songs are bad. Well, amazing. now we're
starting. Ryan, what would be your fan favorite four?
Oh, Peter Pan. Either Todd or Copper from... I could go either way on Fox and the Hound. Chernabog. And then probably Carl from Up.
Oh, that's a good one.
I don't.
Okay. You know what? Now he may be remote. I would probably have Mr. Incredible.
Yeah.
To represent my Pixar. Definitely Chernabog. Who else did I say just before?
Cusco.
Oh, Cusco. Yeah, Cusco would be up there. I don't know why, but he would. And
would you put Alice?
Alice would be the other one. Yeah, Alice would be up there. Melissa, what would yours be?
I'll definitely put Aurora up there because I love Sleeping Beauty. Uh-huh. That's, you know, my favorite. I love Hades for villains. Like, as much as I love Ursula, like, Hades has got my favorite. I could quote his lines forever.
But he doesn't sing a song, and you use that as a negative against Gaston.
No, I said Gaston doesn't sing his song.
But he doesn't even have a song.
That's okay. He has, Zeusy, I'm home.
Continue.
So those
he sings lines in that song, so it counts.
And then after that, I kind of just have... I would want Wally up there because he's adorable. And my last one...
Wally's a strong pick. That's a really strong pick.
I love him. I'm trying to think of who my last one would be. I don't know of another character that I love that much.
Why don't you think about it, and we'll go over to Brian.
Okay.
I would still have Sorcerer Mickey up there. I would have Captain Hook.
Okay.
I would have Gaston. And actually, Gaston chair made of antlers.
Is there an argument to be made that the real villain song is the...
Yes. I know it's when you're talking about Kill the Beast.
Yeah, the Kill the Beast song.
And he sings that song.
There can be an argument that
he sings two songs to be technical. He really does. Because he sings that whole song, and then he sings like two lines in the other song.
So then Ursula, when she's singing to her mirror, is also part of the song.
Yeah, but her songs are not good, so it's fine.
They're amazing.
All right. I don't know who my fourth one would be.
Damn it, people.
I know the
bowler hat guy from Meet the Robinsons.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yes, great.
That's
yeah.
a good one.
Thank you, John Lasseter, for retooling that movie.
Yes, please.
Because that movie without bowler hat guy is kind of dull.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And without that wacky, wacky sense of humor that it goes into once we meet the family.
Yep.
But man, that film is good.
That's so good.
What
that
an
film.
Underappreciated film that is.
I love that
film. It feels like Big Hero 6 went right next to it.
Oh, yeah. Definitely, yeah.
Which, in this day and age, you really would have thought that that film would have been perfect for kids to latch onto.
Yeah, I don't know why.
But it just didn't, and it did fine enough in the box office, but man, just no one's talking about it anymore.
Well, they'll talk about it when they put it in Tokyo.
And I believe that they are getting a sequel still. I'm pretty sure they're still getting one. Even better. Then you'll get like an unlimited. You know?
Because that's actually who my fourth person would be. I'd put Genie up there because from Aladdin.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Aladdin did not get talked about tonight, which I'm very surprised. But it falls into that Lion King, Beauty and the Beast, Ariel, Little Mermaid, I mean. And wait a minute. Aladdin? Little Mermaid, Lion King, Beauty and the Beast section of Disney,
mm-hmm.
where you kind of have to go towards one.
Yeah.
You know? That one.
Yeah, and Aladdin was the fourth one, right? In the time?
Third.
Oh, third. Lion King was after.
Lion King was the last one, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Beauty and the Beast happened second.
No, I knew
that. That was a nice grand finale, at least, to get for a while.
Yeah. You're Hercules.
Yeah, the historical area of them didn't do great, even though I love Mulan. Ooh, oh, yeah. Wow. You know
I'm
what?
I'm surprised you didn't say that, actually.
Well, it's also, I mean, I'm just thinking of it off the top of my head. Mulan might be up there.
On your mountain?
Yeah. She actually probably would be up there, now that I think of it.
For a strong princess, she was like one of the first, you know.
She's not a princess.
Eventually, she became one.
How?
She married the prince.
Disney retroactively said she's a princess.
They retconned her.
Yeah, Disney put her in there with Tinkerbell.
But that still makes no sense. She's not a
princess. It's an honorary degree. It's...
Yeah.
She got a certificate in princesshood.
It's just a certificate. Took an online
certificate
course.
Certificate of authenticity. She's a princess.
All right, guys. So what I want you to do is I'm going to make a... We're going to make a poll on the Facebook page. We can do that, right?
I know we could do it on Twitter. I don't know. Facebook is
I'm
weird
sure we
with
can
polls.
Figure something else out.
We could just have them like for one or comment for the other.
Better.
Or whatever.
Okay, we can do that too. So I'm going to add that on. Yes, woman.
I'm sorry. It just got even. I seen other people do it, so I thought of a better way to do it. You could put their two pictures up there and you could do like for Ariel and heart for Belle or something because, you know, now Facebook lets you react to the pictures.
But then I got to count each and every individual reaction. That seems like more work.
It'll be the same
willing.
Thing as likes and comments.
Don't worry about it. We'll take care of it off the air, okay?
I'm going to argue my point because I can argue with you. I can't argue
somehow.
With Brian.
Yeah, there will be a poll somehow of do you think on the Mount Rushmore, should it be Ariel or Belle?
Belle.
Now look, I know that there's someone right now who's really tempted to be like, it shouldn't be either of those. It should be this. Don't worry about that. Everyone else is dead. Only two of these people survive, and you have to kill one of them. It's all about murdering. You have to choose one of them.
Getting dark.
So, yeah, it's getting real dark. So, which one would you choose between those two if the choice is put forth to you? That was a lot of twos in there. That's good. How's everybody feeling? Are we good on this one?
We're good.
All right. I think that's. I think we're about to ready to call it a night and call it a wrap for the Long Island studio,
woo.
AKA this room that is sweltering hot because we had to turn off the air conditioning while recording.
I'm comfortable.
Yeah, it's because you're a demon.
I'm going to do well in Florida.
Ryan. Ryan, thank you so much for joining us once again.
My pleasure.
We will hear from you in 2 weeks when we come back, hopefully.
Sounds good.
All right, good. And as I said last time, we'll actually do Lady and the Tramp on the next show. And until then, right now, you are listening to Upular. You can find this video over at youtube.com/pogo, his music at soundcloud.com/pogomix, and his website is pogomix.net. We are lastgenpodcast.com. Follow us on Twitter at DIS Magic Hour Pod. That's Diz Magic Hour Pod. If you head on over to Facebook and search for Disney Magic Hour, you can join our group. Head on over to iTunes and give a 5-star review. And we will read your review on the show. Again, apologies to the people who put up reviews. The text didn't show up yet. Head on over to Google Play Music into the podcast section, and you can find us if you search for Disney Magic Hour. And on SoundCloud, you can find us on soundcloud.com/Disney Magic Hour Podcast. And Melissa, where can people find elsewhere now?
Now I've created an Instagram for Disney Magic Hour Podcast. If you search that whole term, we're there. You'll see our logo as the picture, the same as iTunes. And right now I've been going through some backlog of photos, just kind of getting us prepped for when we're down there. And I'll more than likely be taking a ton of pictures and posting them up there. And also stealing some of yours, Pete, because you're a much better photographer. But
okay. Well, thank you. And Ryan, where can everyone find you?
It's mainstgazette.com, mainstgazette on Instagram, on Twitter. And if you search Main Street Gazette on Facebook, you will find me there as well.
Till next week, or 2 weeks, say goodnight, Melissa.
Goodnight, Melissa.
Say goodnight, Brian.
Goodnight, Brian.
Say goodnight, Ryan.
Goodnight, Ryan.
Goodnight, Pete. Goodnight, Long Island. See you soon, Florida. Say goodnight, Pogo.
That doesn't even rhyme.
Yeah, it does.
Bring it back, Elamite.
Both out of those.
Everybody up.
Go. Would you sign off?
Turn my cup, Elamite.
Both out of those.
Let me in.
Not for Russ, a weird. Bring it back, Elamite.
Both out of those.
Everybody up. Go.
Would you sign off?
Turn my cup, Elamite.